not really for.
This meeting is hereby called to order. Good afternoon. Welcome to the City of Glendale's Board of Adjustment meeting. My name is Ermine Zara. I am the board's chairperson. The Board of Adjustment is a quasi-judicial body made up of volunteers. Shall I start over?
A little closer.
Bring the mic down.
This is new to all of us, by the way. All right. This meeting is hereby called to order. Welcome to the City of Glendale's Board of Adjustment meeting. My name is Ermine Zara, and I am the board's chairperson. The Board of Adjustment is a quasi-judicial body made up of volunteers who are appointed by the City Council. The board works from a written agenda. If you wish to speak on an item, you must fill out a yellow citizen comment card like this and return it to me or one of the city staff. There are currently 5 members on the board. An affirmative vote by a majority of the members present is required to grant a variance or uphold an appeal. There are 5 members present today. I would like each member to take an opportunity to introduce themselves and tell us how long they've been on the Board of Adjustment Committee. Mr. Britton.
My name is Brian Britton. I represent the Cactus District, and I've been on the board since October.
Mr. Feiner?
I'm known as Larry Feiner. I represent the Saguaro District, and I've been on this board for about 5 years.
My name is Benjamin Neighbor. I represent the Barrel District. I've been on the board for a little over a year.
Kathy Cheshire, Choya District. This is my second set of serving on the board, so altogether about maybe 6 years.
Thank you. And I am Ermine Zara. Ermine Zara. I've been on this board for 5 years. I've just started my 6th year, my 2nd year as chairman. I'd just like to point out that the 5 of us here represent almost 20 years of volunteer service to the City of Glendale. The board receives administrative assistance and procedural guidance from the staff and the planning division of the City Attorney's Office. These staff members are employed by the city and act independently from the board. Board of Adjustment Liaison, would you please introduce the city staff who are present this evening?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Lisa Collins. I'm the planning administrator and interim development services director. To my right is James Ruger with our attorney's office, Samantha Cope. To Mr. Ruger's right, she is our planning assistant with the planning development services department, and Russ Romney on the other side with our legal department. Thank you.
Thank you very much. First on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the December meeting. And I haven't received anything. Was there a mailing? I'm going to have to, let's see, I do have a copy of it. Do I have a motion from the board to accept the minutes for December 12th meeting?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for December 12th meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Neighbor. Do I have a second?
I second.
Thank you, Mr. Britton. We'll have a vote on that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion is carried. Let's see. Those meeting minutes are approved and accepted. Are there any requests for withdrawals or continuances?
No, Mr. Chairman, there are none.
I would not think so. May I have the staff present its first application for, what, ZIL 1902? Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Again, my name is Lisa Collins. I'm a zoning administrator, and we made a presentation at the previous hearing, and so I don't have another presentation. I'm happy to answer any of the questions the board may have, and I understand that you may open the hearing for public, for additional public testimony, and I can answer questions then as well.
Thank you. I've been advised that with so many people here and so many comment cards that it would seem unfair not to hear what some of these people have to say. For that reason, I'm going to reopen the public comment section, and we will go through the comment cards. I will limit, we set a timer here, to your comments to 3 minutes so we can get through this as quickly as possible. Oh, you're ahead of me? Great, okay. Okay, I would like to open the public hearing for this application. I'll call your name from the yellow comment cards I have received. You'll need to state your name and address for the record if you wish to speak on an item. Please be brief, to the point, and avoid repetition. I reserve the right to limit the length of your testimony. All exhibits shown to the board will become part of the permanent record and must be submitted for the file. Applause or other disruptions which delay the hearing will not be tolerated. First card is Zell Zimmer.
My name is Itza Zimmer. I'm the owner of the tax office located at 7150 North 57 Drive. It's the one that you're talking about in this hearing. My tax office attracts more than 700 families per year. And after my office, this activity extends beyond the tax season as clients make appointments throughout the year. And local businesses benefit from the exposure and traffic of my clients provide. My husband and I bought this property specifically because it's zoned residential and commercial. As realtors, we saw potential in this location for my tax office, as well as a long-term investment that will be attractive to buyers in the future. A residential property, the financing, it will require only 3% if it's a residential for down payment. Compared to having an only commercial zoning, it will increase the down payment from 25 to 50%. This will limit the number of buyers we will have for our property if we need to sell it. That will reduce possibly the value of our properties as well. The retail environment in the United States continue to be changing due to the online giants as Amazon and Walmart. I think that leaving the zoning the way it is allows all property owners to have more options for future pre-sale of their properties if they need to sell it. And it also allows the Kathleen Court District to offer a variety of options for clients. So that's my point of view.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Ron Short.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and board members. I'm Ron Short, president of the Glendale, Arizona Historical Society. And I want to point out to you that in the late 1980s, a group of people was aghast about the number of buildings that are going down and deteriorating in this particular area. And they got together, and in 1990, over a year's period of time, they developed the Catholic Court PAD to save this particular area. The primary purpose of the PAD was land use. And indeed, the purpose of the Catholic Court District Plan is to develop a specialty retail district with a unique sense of place for revitalization of the retail base downtown. It is a tourist attraction, a fun place, an entertaining place, business in the district would primarily include specialty retail stores such as antique stores, restaurants, gift stores, etc. The percentage of office would be included as well. And the pedestrian-oriented special retail is the primary land use of the area. Specialty retail is defined as retail use that is pedestrian-oriented rather than oriented to the use of the automobile self-finished products. Is this destination-oriented and does not impact the safety or use of the pedestrian environment. So indeed, that's the purpose of this particular district. It's primarily to have for specialty retail, and over the 30-year period, it's done that. It's been a great success in the area. And a specialty retail owner has the option to live in the structure. A person may live and work within the same building while conducting business. So if you're a store owner, you can live there, but you've got to be a store owner to live there. And the office aspect itself is no more than 25% of the total first floor floor area for the whole district, and that can be office. They limited that to that amount, so the primary purpose of that particular district is specialty retail. And it's pretty easy to take to find out where that is, where the office is, what's going on. I did that for several years working for the city of Glendale, and it was no problem for me, so it wasn't a problem for me. I'm sure other staff members can keep track of the office that's in there on this side. So indeed, it would be suggested that you vacate the planning administrator's interpretation, keep the offices as they are, and let's try another 30 years of success in the district. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bud Zuma, did I get that correct, sir?
You did. Thank you. Good evening. My name is Bud Zomach. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak. And you're serving so many years, and I have five different commissions under my belt as well, so I understand your time commitment that you're speaking of. I think this boils down to a really basic premise, and there are a set of rules that were created under the PAD. And as I've said, this is pretty simple. If you don't want to enforce those PAD rules, then let's blitz them for the whole city, for all of the PAD pieces. We created this set of rules. I was, I guess, the foolish one. I bought a piece of property as a commercial property 6 months ago and paid the higher price. While I understand buying as a residential property would have saved me a lot of money, I followed the rules because that's what the rules state, is that it's a commercial area. I didn't think of coming here and opening a house or deciding to live in here as a house any more than I would look at purchasing a piece of property up at the Home Depot area that's in a commercial area and thinking I could rent that and make my house there either. It's the same thing. It's a commercial piece of property, it's a pad that allows people to live in it if they own a business in that area. But let's follow the rules. If we don't choose to follow the rules, let's get rid of them for everything so that we all have the same opportunities to save money, to do things the way, let's not pick and choose who gets to follow the rules. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheryl Capps.
Good afternoon. My name is Cheryl Capps. I'm the owner of the Country Maiden, a property owner and operator of that store since 2007. When we last met, I did ask Ms. Lisa to hand out a walking map to you guys. We weren't able to speak, but no, it's actually the one we published that we, I'm actually the map keeper for all of downtown, and every building has a number on it, and associated with that number, then inside you can see who they are, how to contact them. And it's a guide that we actually use and promote on a daily basis. This customer comes in, they want to know where to get anything. We are happy to tell them where to go using that walking map. You didn't actually pull it up there, but it's a beautiful map that we use to communicate. And the reason why the buildings have a number on them is because they were assigned, I don't know, 30 years ago, expecting to keep a cohesive set of specialty retail together. So I had wanted you to have that so that you could look at it and you could see. We have the doll and toy museum. We have the spicery in our 1895 home. We have the Country Maiden. You have Papa Ed's ice cream, Glendale Flowers and Gifts. We have Oriental Center of Medicine and Health. We have, I could go on and on. I'm pretty sure we have some indication. Two other just quick points. I want you to know that Ron said that he used to help keep management of helping us to enforce PAD. It was, I can't remember, 2015, 2016. We were sitting with the city planning department, Mr. Froppy and company. They developed these plot maps, of which they gave us, so that we could all work as a team to help them to know what was the correct square footage according to the tax records that Maricopa County assesses. Pretty sure if those records were wrong, the owners would help get them corrected. So, you know, we worked as a team. We found ways to communicate so that we would keep the specialty retail dining district alive, well, and a great visitor destination. So I encourage us to continue that because we've invested our lives to making this a wonderful place to visit. Just want to point out, somebody said something about down payments hard to get for a commercial. I think grants are available for those too. I've heard some people can get grants to work with down payments, so that should not be a decision. And the last thing they said was we work with the city. Well, I just wanted to point out the square footage. We work with them, we created it, we updated all the spreadsheets, and that information is all readily available, so it shouldn't be that hard to follow through with enforcement of the PAD. Thank you.
Thank you. Roger Feinerman. Is Roger declining to speak? Coit Berner.
Hi, my name is Coit Berner. I own Bears and More, and we opened our business in 1992 in the Catlin Court area. So we've been down here 28 years, I believe. We rented for a number of years, watched the area develop, watched the PAD develop, watched the PAD be enforced by Mr. Short, and then went ahead and decided to purchase a property approximately 15 years ago based on the PAD being enforced. So we could have our retail business. We're not trying to kick anybody out that's here. We're just trying to go on forward, pump the brakes a little bit, and try to get this enforced and keep it what it was supposed to be. You know, you hear people say, well, I won't be able to sell my property. I believe we just had a property sell on our street with a commercial loan with no down payment. So I think there's some misinformation that gets spread. We're not trying to throw residents out that have moved in already and are here, but I would hope that people would move in with goodness in their heart and understand where they're moving to. Do a little due diligence. Like I heard someone comment, you know, I wouldn't move into a commercial strip center and expect to live there. You know, a lot of times it's brought up how much is invested in properties. You look at, there's a lot of property owners right here. We have literally millions of dollars invested. So, just hope you take that into consideration. And I thank you for your time, and I thank you for your service to the city of Glendale.
Thank you very much. Jim Hummel.
Hello, my name is Jim Hummel. I own the property at 7150 North 58th Drive. Thank you guys for coming out and hearing us all. I am opposed to limiting or prohibiting residential use in Catlin Court, in the Catlin Court PAD area that we are discussing today. And I'll use the references from the Catlin Court District plan. And I think you guys all have that and hopefully read it, because there's some misstatements, I believe, here. There's nowhere in the document that states residential use is prohibited or limited to a specific percentage. Page 30 under land use, it says the intent of Catlin Court is to develop a specialty retail district that would include a mix of specialty retail stores and restaurants with a percentage of office space and residential use. It doesn't state with a percentage of office space and a percentage of residential use. It states a percentage of office space and residential. So there is nowhere in that statement or in the documents that prohibits the number of private residences or residential use. On page 31, it also states a person may live and work within the same building while conducting business. This language, to me, appears to be permissive rather than restrictive. It's basically saying that it's okay, you can do both and. You can live there, work there, or do both. The next sentence on that same page says, residential use is limited to one dwelling unit per land property. This sentence clarifies that the residential use is permitted, but only one dwelling per unit, per land property. There is no language in the PAD that a business use is required on every property. There is no language in the PAD document that states solely residential use is prohibited. There is no language in the PAD that puts a percentage or amount of residences allowed in Catlin Court. Throughout this document, the PAD talks about the residential character exists and is intended to be maintained in Catlin Court several times throughout the document. On pages 1, 13, 14, 26, 31, and 32. Now, to prohibit residential use or put restrictions on the amount of residents allowed does not seem like logical to me. To prohibit the residential use in an area noted for residential character, it just doesn't seem right. And as I read the document thoroughly, it appears to allow residential use, especially retail, with a percentage of office space. I'm asking the board to not put any restrictions or prohibit residential use in the Catlin Court PAD area. Again, I thank you for your time and appreciate you guys volunteering.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lupe Encinas.
Board members.
Thank you.
I'm actually brand new. I'm the new owner of a property on 7157 North 59th Avenue. My name is Lupe Encinas, and I am the owner of Cactus State Insurance. Now, when I bought this property, yes, I bought it with a commercial loan. But I brought my money to Catlin Court because I saw the possibilities. This property had been in the market for years, and when I saw it, and I had actually I pulled out from another property that I was going to purchase to buy this one, because first of all, it's closer to my home. I saw the possibilities. I saw change, possibility for growth, and I thought Catlin Court was a community. When the first day when I was over there opening the office, when I got the key, Jim came over and introduced himself, and he told me that he lived there as a business owner. And Jim coming over, he told me he was living there. It was a relief. I was like, yes, I thought it was awesome. It just because he was living there, he lives there. He could keep an eye on the properties. If you see something strange, I thought that Catlin Court, when I read the pad and that this was coming up, I just saw that there was an opportunity to change. I have three other insurance offices. This is my third one, and I come with a book of business. And what that to me means is more customers for my fellow community at Catlin Court. we're bringing that back. I don't want, if you have seen the building, I've made, I did a little paint job. I restored it. That outside, it looks beautiful. If you have the time to go out there and look at it, I'm investing in this property, but I'm not taking away from the building itself. I want to keep it as Catlin Court, but at the same time, I think you are ready. We are ready for change. I'm willing to work with everybody here. I think that if we continue, this map that Cheryl is working with is such a great idea. I was already thinking of different ways that I could use this to kind of work with my customers and be like, hey, you know, I'm gonna give you a $5 coupon, go use it at Court Manors. There's so many things that were going through my mind on how we're gonna be able to work together, and how I think that it's still a possibility. We just need to make sure that you listen to our request for change at this time. So that's what I wanted to say today.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry I wasn't really prepared, but I just think I had to speak today.
My last card, Mr. David Chang.
Good evening, Chair and board members. My name is Dave Chang. I own 5 property parcels in this Catlin Court area. I used to own Cuff Restaurant. I own the property. I created the concept of Cuff and Off the Cuff. I guess I took some time to kind of take a look at the map, because, you know, there's a lot of things being said about the PAD being in existence, and we've managed the PAD and disallowed all of this. If you look at the analysis of all the current property parcels that are there, I did an analysis based on the entities that are there, and I did the analysis based on the property parcels that are in this Catlin Court PAD. If you look at it currently, okay, if you look at it by entity, okay, we've got about 20-some-odd properties, okay, and 42% of the properties are professional. The way I define property professional is these are properties that are being used for office space, they're used for a theater, or they're used for services like a dentist's office, okay? And then if you look at it, there's also about 27% of the properties, if you look at it by entity now, okay? Because some of the properties actually are on 2 property parcels, okay? But 27% of it is used as residential. Now, if you take it another way, where you look at it, all the property parcels and calculate what they're used for, if you look at that map that I gave you, the largest use of the property is residential, which is 45% of the property parcels are being used for residential uses, and 32% are used for office space. So some of the discussions that are happening here is we're talking about where we're saying the PAD, as some people understand it, is that you're only limited to using 25% of your first floor space as office use. Now, if you look at the map, there's a birthing center in there. Okay, are you then going to go to them and say, hey, birthing center, you can only use 25% of the space? You know, so instead of having 4 birthing rooms, you can only use 1. Or there's lawyers' offices out there. You know, I don't know how you're going to regulate that and, you know, enforce the thing that you can only use 25%. I think 20, 30 years ago when the PAD was created, that was in the 90s when shopping malls were really, really big, you know? And I think by basically moving this in the direction where all we have is retail, and everybody knows the path that the shopping malls are going, okay? They are not surviving. You know, I own quite a bit of property. I renovated. I own some of the most historical, iconic properties in downtown Glendale. I just restored one of the properties in Catlin Court in this PAD area. You know, there is not a lot of market for retail rental. I've been trying to rent them out. Now, the tenants that tend to come, they cannot afford the rent. okay? So I have to basically subsidize the rent to the point where, you know, property values on a commercial basis is based on the cash flow that that property generates. Because of the low amount of rents that we can get from it, we basically devalue everybody else's property. So my encouragement to all of you is, I thought I'd bring everybody back to where we are today. You know, if you're going to enforce the fact that only 25% can be used as residence or 25% can be used as office space, there's quite a few apartment buildings there. So when they sell a property, are you going to go there and say, hey, you can't rent out all these rooms. You can only rent out 25% of it. Does that make any sense? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
If I may, I have a point of order. I represent, my name is Jeff Koppelmeyer. I represent the appellants in both of these appeals. I was not provided with a copy of what was shown here on the screen. It wasn't part of the submission originally presented when this matter was argued, when I was also presenting the argument. I don't know if this submission is verified or has any relationship to the facts. So I just wanted to state the objection for the record that if this late addition is going to be a part of the quasi-judicial decision making that you're going to be doing, I just wanted to lodge that objection for the record. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any, excuse me, is there anyone else who wishes to speak who did not fill out a yellow citizen card?
I just want to mention that, so I'm not a burger on affairs anymore. And we hear a lot about the change of retail.
Would you please state your name?
Valerie Berner, Affairs and More. We hear a lot about the change of retail. Let me tell you, 28 years I've been in it. My skin's in it. 14%. This is what, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, and malls are dying. Perhaps they are. You're millennials, do your research. I'm just asking you. Your millennials want that small retail experience. So 14% has moved online. Absolutely verified. It's all over the place. What does that mean? That means there's 86% of people shopping. Simple math. That's all I'm saying. This is a specialty retail district. That's what it was made for. That's what all these people bought into. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to ask again, is there anyone else who would like to speak? Who did not fill out a yellow comment card? Public hearing on this item is now closed. With no further questions, we'll turn this over to the city attorney to present the questions on the findings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On this particular issue, there are no real findings other than your decision about whether you wish to uphold the appeal and allow it to stand, or whether you wish and vacate the zoning interpretation, or whether you believe the zoning interpretation should be upheld. So really, we're looking for a decision on your part and a motion to go whichever way you feel is the way you decide it as a board. Did you want to have some discussion amongst yourselves before you voted? Or
I think that would be a good idea.
Okay.
If we, I guess an executive session would be in order.
Again, that's up to you.
Do I have a motion and a second?
When we were told initially, it was just going to be the people that heard the thing originally, so it's just you four. Mr. Britton wasn't there, so it's just you four that will be voting on this. Is this correct?
Yeah,
okay.
That's correct.
I just want to make sure.
Chair, I make a motion that we adjourn for an executive session.
Thank you. Second, please.
I'll second that.
Mr. Feiner, thank you. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Motion carried. We'll be in executive session.
Can we forget how long this is? 5 minutes.
Okay, 5 minutes.
you. Okay, we are once again in session. Does the staff or board have any additional questions at this time?
I have a question.
Very good.
Mr. Koppelman?
Yes.
It's my understanding that your argument is that you believe that there should be a retail or office space requirement in all of the buildings.
I'm sorry?
Can you reaffirm, tell me again what your statement is, what you're arguing towards?
Fundamentally, our argument is that if the law provides for a limitation on office space, it cannot be interpreted legitimately to provide no limit on office space. If the law provides for a limit on residential use within a district, it cannot legitimately be interpreted to provide no limit for a residential. So with regard to the former, it is a 25% of the aggregate first floor office space. Only 25% of that aggregate first floor, not below or not second floor, can be devoted to professional office space. And again, that doesn't count home offices. It doesn't count every kind of office space. Professional office space has a very specific definition within the code that's cited in our papers, and that's the limitation. It's only 25% of the aggregate first floor office space within a four block district. Actually, I've been apprised that it's actually only 3.5 blocks, because a half block was taken out of the PAD legitimately through a city council vote in the early 2000s. So is that answering your question? It's an aggregate first floor office space of all of those structures. Only 25% of it can be within those particular kinds of office space that fall within the definition of professional office space in the zoning code.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have any more questions? Discussion? I guess not.
Well, it seems to me, it seems to me that what we're discussing really is the future of Catlin Court, if we're going to steer it towards the direction of primarily professional and retail, or steer it in a direction where it could potentially become predominantly residential. Steering it one way or the other is an interesting thought, but that's not the question here. The question is the planning department's interpretation of the PAD correct? And it seems to me that their interpretation is any of the buildings can have some residential space. And that's not a limitation on residential space, but there is a limitation on commercial. In my mind, that seems like it's like the intent is to steer it towards long-term residential use. Does that sound about right?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Viner. The interpretation, I believe, stated that it was not possible to regulate the limit on office use as is prescribed in the PAD, because it is not, there's not an association associated with it. It's not established in the PAD as to which buildings, which structures would actually be office. So traditionally, when we have those types of situations, a map is approved that shows what that specific area is or percentage. And traditionally, when you have spaces where there's an office and a residence, it is a home occupation. So if there's that mixture, it's difficult to recognize and to accurately regulate. So So that's the office component. The residential component, and it says you can live and work, it's the interpretation that you can certainly do that, but there's nothing that says that you cannot just live there.
Right.
So that's sort of the essence of the interpretation.
So, and then one last thought or question, really. That 25% limit, is that per building, or is that the 76 parcels as a whole?
Well,
so could there be one first floor that's 100% professional or retail, as long as three have none?
Commissioner, that's part of the dilemma. How would that be? Even if that was the case, even if you said one house can be in the, and do the math about how maybe not only how many square feet exist now, but how many square feet could exist if the buildings expanded, it would be very difficult to regulate that. It would require people to go, you know, inside of buildings or use assessor maps. It's a very difficult thing for a city to say that they can accurately regulate. I would hate to tell someone, or assure someone, that I could regulate something like that, because I don't think we could.
Thank you.
Kathy, you have a question?
Do you turn this on?
You do. It's on.
This is for Mr. Poppelman. Just out of curiosity, how were you suggesting that this would be regulated?
Are you referring to the office space one?
The 25%.
If you recall, a couple months ago, we presented some argument regarding the practicalities of doing this. Right? And the comment was made by the city that normally, that first of all, and there are authorities that have been provided to you in our papers, that regulating a percentage of square foot office space is certainly one of the tools specifically in the PAD authorizing statute that they're allowed to use, right? It says ratios of particular office space uses. So these things in other areas, the City of Tempe case that I had copied for you in specifically, addresses it in terms of actually a regulation within a building, where the PAD had said that only a certain percentage within a building could be devoted to a certain space in order to comply with the law. So certainly, any way that a city can use, any tools that a city can use to enforce a ratio, a floor area ratio within a building, could certainly be used to do it in an aggregate way for these 25%. I've asked, What ways would you do it if this was one of those acknowledged useful PAD ones where the regulation is within a structure? Haven't got a response to that, but I did offer on behalf of appellants a good faith proposal, which is that first you send out a card to everyone, much like the card or the correspondence that they got notifying them of this very hearing, and it asks them to self-report. If people don't self-report, and you also augment that with tax records and others to determine people have, they're required to have business licenses, there's a variety of public records that could be used for this purpose. So then you ask people to self-report. If they don't self-report, you take the time to send a couple people out there to knock on their door and say, hey, we sent this to you a couple months ago, and you didn't self-report, so we're asking you to report now. And when the people decline to do so, then it becomes an enforcement issue. Then really they're not producing the information that you've requested twice, once by mail, and once you set people out there. Keep in mind, this is a four blocks long. It's not going to take months and months and months to knock on every door in this district that's only four blocks long. So I'm not saying that's the only way to do it, but it is what it does show, this proposal that I made at the first hearing, is that there are good faith ways to do it inexpensively using publicly available records and simple face-to-face requests where this data could be gathered in a way that would make it enforceable. It is certainly not impossible. It is most certainly not impossible.
Thank you. Any other questions?
No.
At this point, I think a motion is in order. Am I on?
So regarding the residential space, I'd like to make a motion to uphold the zoning administrator's interpretation for that.
Okay. Second for the motion?
I'll second that motion.
Mr. Feiner, thank you. We'll have a roll call vote. Start with Mr. Feiner.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cheshire?
Yes, before I vote, I just want to talk about this for just a second. Because as you can see, we've been given a lot of information. Every one of us here, the four of us that have been involved with this, have spent quite a bit of time reviewing, reading, trying to assimilate all of the information that has been given to us. And our decision, my decision, does not come lightly. So I want to make sure that that is heard. I've seen the amount of work that has gone into Catlin Court and Mr. Short's work, definitely Mr. Froke's work originally on the PAD. But with all of that said, I have read the planning administrator's interpretation, and therefore I am going to vote aye in favor of the motion that has been made.
Thank you. Mr. Neighbor?
Aye.
Your vote?
Yes.
Aye. And the chair votes aye. We'll now entertain a second motion.
So regarding the professional office space, I'd like to make a motion to uphold the zoning administrator's interpretation on that as well.
Thank you, Mr. Neighbor. Do I have a second?
I second it.
Vice Chair Cheshire, thank you. Second. We'll now have a vote. Roll call vote on that. Mr. Feiner?
I vote aye.
Vice Chair Cheshire?
Aye.
Mr. Neighbor? The chair votes aye.
Motion
made and seconded and carried.
And the city's interpretation is one of ballot.
The board's voted to uphold to affirm the zoning administrator's interpretation.
Yes, on two counts with two motions, yes, sir.
Professional and presidential. Thank you, board members.
Anyone wishing to appeal this action will need to file a motion in Superior Court.
So we'll see you.
Yep. Yes. At this point, well, let's give it a moment or two.
That's okay. Go ahead.
At this time, I'd like to call for the planning staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have no staff report this evening.
Thank you. Do any of the board members have any items?
No.
No. Next meeting, Samantha. Thank you. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I will make a motion to adjourn.
Second. Thank you, Mr. Feiner.
Second.
Mr. Britton, second. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Carry. Meeting is adjourned.
All right.